Chapter 3. Indianapolis. How Government Should Work. To some journalists, compassionate conservatism sounds like reinventing government, the new paradigm of the early 1990s, because both ideas emphasize local decision-making, flexibility, and competition. That's true, and reporters who see reinventing as hype should be skeptical about compassionate conservatism. But they should also take seriously the dimension of faith, more potent than a drive for efficiency, that this new paradigm brings to the table. From what I had heard, Indianapolis would be a good place to see whether the attempt to reinvigorate faith-based organizations could bring civil society back to the inner city. But I was also skeptical, for I've been disappointed with claims about philanthropic wonders many times before. Daniel and I drove into Indianapolis, a flat city with straight streets and a square look that was developed early in the 19th century. Some residents who moved in with the state government in 1825 were encouraged when the National Road, now U.S. 40, burst across the plains in 1834. They expected an industrial boom, sawmills, paper mills, factories, when the Central Canal was built on the White River in 1836. But industry departed when the White River's muddy shores proved too fluid to maintain the canal. Only in 1847, with the coming of the railroad, which prized dull, level ground, did the man-made environment become just as workable as one that naturally had easy river transport and inexpensive water power. Indianapolis's lack of natural advantages did make for one setback early in the 20th century when it battled to become the center of the new automobile industry. City leaders gained an upper hand in marketing when, on Memorial Day 1911, they inaugurated the Indianapolis 500, which has become the most attended annual single-day sporting event in the world. But it was easier to get steel and coal into and vehicles out of Detroit by the Great Lakes. Indianapolis remained a grain and livestock center, and its growth in the second half of this century came via not only man-made products, but high-tech ones. First, Eli Lilly and Company, the pharmaceutical king, and then automation, robotics, and